Good evening. It's time to begin evening worship, and before we do, I'd like to take this time to make a few announcements. A little bit better prepared this evening than I was this morning. I'd like to welcome our visitors with us. I failed to do that this morning. We appreciate you being here and consider you as an honored guest. And I ask you to stay around every service as everybody get acquainted with you. Also, I want to remember Richard Hill, Wanda Bradbury, Alice Ward, Don Ward. They are all in extended care of some sort. They can't get out as often as they would like, so remember them. We're also glad to see that Judy Shelton is back with us. We're glad to have her back. Also want to remember Debbie Lampier, Leanne Vaughn, Devin Dasher, Bill Langley, and of course Casey's mother, who fell and broke her wrist last week. Those taking part in the services, Ron will have the singing, Aaron will have the first prayer, Lord's table will be Scott Gentry taking care of it, and at the close of service, Pat will have the closing prayer. And at this time, we'll have our opening prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful evening you've blessed us with to stay here on this earth, to go about your word. And we thank you for this building we were able to gather in to help focus our minds on you tonight. We pray that as we go throughout the service, everything is according to your will. We pray for all those who couldn't be here this evening, all those that are physically sick, and also those that are spiritually sick. We are especially mindful of those who are spiritually sick, that we may reach out to them and they may come back to you. We pray that we can set our worldly thoughts aside and focus on you during this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will be our song this evening. 251, I'm happy today. I'm happy today. Oh yes, I'm happy today. In Jesus Christ, I'm happy today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. I'm singing today, oh yes, I'm singing today. In Jesus Christ, I'm singing today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm singing today. I'm praying today, oh yes, I'm praying today. In Jesus Christ, I'm praying today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm praying today. I'm living today, oh yes, I'm living today. In Jesus Christ, I'm living today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm living today. I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm singing today. In Jesus Christ, I'm praying today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm living today.
guess I either didn't enter one correctly or you're preaching now.
I know I entered four songs in there, and I don't remember what the song of invitation is. I was on the road back. Come on, make an announcement. So we may say three songs after the lesson, guys. Okay.
Thank you. Glad to have everyone here this evening. When you ask just about anybody about plagues in the Bible, the first thing we think about is the plagues in Exodus. You know, plagues on Egypt. The ones of you that have been in the auditorium class have seen that there was a couple of them. There are sets of them that are in Revelation. In the 8th and 9th chapter, there's some plagues. In the 15th and 16th chapter, there's some plagues. And I have a handout. If anybody needs a handout, hold their hand up and Ronnie will get them one. But you know, like I said, Ronnie and I have been talking about this, and you know, there's other plagues in the Bible that are lesser known. In Exodus 32:35, we see when after the golden calf, we see that was called a plague for where Moses after that the one that Aaron made. So after that, there's a plague. In 2 Samuel 24, we see the Israelites are still a pestilence, and pestilence is the same thing as a plague. So you'll see that it killed 70,000 people because of David's sin. In Ezekiel 38, we hear the prophecy against the land of God that was called a pestilence and bloodshed in verse 22. We go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary and looking at the word plague as a noun, some of the things it calls it, a calamity, a pestilence, or a nuisance. And, you know, even over the last 150 years, we've had to deal with plagues. The Spanish flu killed between 25 and $50 million people worldwide. That's a lot of people. We're still in an ongoing COVID-19 whatever you want to call it, pandemic. And, you know, 6 to 7 million people worldwide have been killed. Now, the good thing is it looks like the curve is flattening, so, you know, that number maybe won't get go up very much. But the plagues that we'll be talking about today will be focused on starting in Exodus 7. And the first place that we'll go is in Exodus 7:14. This is the first plague. We all remember that, you know, the Pharaoh would not let the Israelites go. And so God told Moses, you know, we've got to do some things. And, you know, he was warned and warned and warned, and we see that the things happen. But the first plague in Exodus 7 was water turned into blood. And, you know, some cartoon type pictures to give us an idea, but can you imagine going out to the river and saying yes. Now, the Ohio River is sometimes kind of muddy looking, and I've never seen it red like this. You know, that's what they saw. And we can look in those verses there. In Exodus 7, verse 14, it starts out, "So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go." So right off the bat, we see that Pharaoh has decided, I'm not going to let them go. So, the Lord tells Moses what to do, and one place in here he tells him what to do, and another place we'll see it happening. But you know, in verses 17 and 18 it says, "Thus saith the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters, which are the rivers, with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die, the river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river." Like I said, I just can't imagine that. But we see that the magicians, they can duplicate this by trickery, enchantment, however you want to do it. In verse 22, they were able to do the same thing. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. So, Pharaoh says, "You can do it, so can I." In verse 24 there, we see that it lasted for 7 days, and it was, or verse 25, I'm sorry, in verse 24 we see that they could not drink the water out of the river, so they had to dig wells around the river to get that. Like I said, Pharaoh's heart is hard. And the next one we see is frogs. Going over to over to the 8th chapter there, and this is just, can you imagine everything you do, there's a frog. You open up your oven, there's frogs. You get ready to go in bed and pull back the covers, there's frogs. You know, every place you look. And you know, this would be a nuisance also. But you know, we see in verse 1 of chapter 8, Moses asked Pharaoh to let the people go. In verse 2, he refuses. You know, he's not going to let that happen. So here's our second plague. In verse 6, so Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. So every place you look, the land of Egypt is covered with frogs. And same thing, verse 7, the magicians, they can duplicate it too. So, you know, all of this works to harden Pharaoh's heart. We go down to verse 15. So Pharaoh says, "Okay, stop it, and we'll let you go." Verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart. He did not heed them again, as the Lord had said. So, you know, Pharaoh's consistent. We can see that it's going to take a lot to change it. The next thing we see is lice. And according to what version you've got, it may say lice. It may say gnats. It may say insects. But just think about it. If you've ever been out in the woods and the little deer flies are after you, or you're set someplace and you've got one gnat that's just bothering you, can you imagine just being covered with it? But that's what they had. In verse 17 there, it says, at the end of it, and it became lice on men and beasts, as the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. So, just covered with lice or gnats, you know, little tiny insects. Whatever they were, they were very bothersome. But we see here, it's getting a little harder for the magicians. They couldn't duplicate this in verse 18. It says that they tried to do it, but they could not bring forth lice. What happens in verse 19 again? Pharaoh's heart grew hard. He did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. Still didn't make a difference to him. Next thing we see is flies. And flies can be bothersome too. I don't know what's worse, flies or gnats, or lice, whatever you want to say. But, you know, they were, this one is it's a little bit different than some of the rest of them. The flies we see in verse 21, they're everywhere in Egypt. But when you go to verse 22, and in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that they may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. It appears up until this time that whether you were an Egyptian or an Israelite, you were being affected by the plagues. But it looks like the flies is a little different. It only affects the Israelites. I'm sorry, the Egyptians, I'm sorry. But we go down to verse 28. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away and intercede with me. And so this is not what God wanted. This was not going to work. So, it's the same thing. Verse 32. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time, neither would he let the people go. So this still didn't work. So we've had four plagues that would really be hard on you, and it doesn't seem to be making a difference to Pharaoh. The next one, you know, the livestock die. And so this is, you wake up in the morning and you see a bunch of your cattle, a bunch of your sheep, whatever you have out there in the field, and you see lots of them dead. And this one, again, is we're in chapter 9, starting in verse 1. The livestock would die in Egypt. But when we go to verse 4, it says, and the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so nothing shall die at all that belongs to the children of Israel. God is looking out for his people. He is continuing to do what he should do. But you'll go down to verse 7, same thing again. Then Pharaoh sent, indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. And we had five, and he had not go. So, this next one. Boils. Can you imagine being covered with boils all over you? Pain and the suffering that all you would have. That's what we see here. And starting in verse 8, the boils were on man and beast throughout Egypt. Now, I don't know if that is Egypt and the land of Goshen or just Egypt. You know, whatever it is, it's really, really bothering them. And this time, the magicians in verse 11, they couldn't even come up here and come before Moses. They were in so much pain and suffering from the boils, they didn't even come before Moses. But we go to verse 12 again. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. So, six plagues, and he still hadn't changed his plagues. The seventh one, hail. We've seen places where hail has come through and destruction. Here, a few years ago, Bowling Green, a large section of Bowling Green was destroyed quite a bit. And we've seen cars that have been hit with hailstones. But, you know, big hailstones can cause a lot of problems. And this was only affected the Egyptians again in verse 22 through 24. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt, so that was hail and fire mingled with hail, was so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And in verse 26, only the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. So, you know, we're starting to see that Pharaoh is saying that it's affecting you, but the children of Israel now, they're not being affected by that. And, you know, Pharaoh sends for Moses and Aaron and pleads with them to stop. You know, if there's no more hail, I'll let your people go. But if you go on down to verse 35, what's Pharaoh do again? So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So now we go into another, locusts. Now, this is interesting. We've had hail that's destroyed a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know what it's destroyed, but now we've got plague of locusts coming on that's going to affect them. In verse 7 in chapter 10, we see that the servants of Pharaoh, they're getting tired of this. You know, they want to end. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? You know, our country has been destroyed, and you're sitting here still arguing with these people. So, in verse 10, Pharaoh says, you know, I'll let the men go, but no more. You can't. I'm not going to let everybody go, but I will let the men go. And we see it in verse 15. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or the plants on the field throughout all the land of Egypt. This country has been decimated by all this stuff. So, what happens in verse 20? And that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. Pharaoh's persistent. He's trying to show that he has power. The next thing is darkness. Now, you know, darkness can be real eerie. You know, we're used to seeing things. When we can't see things, you know, we have uncertainty. But when we get down into chapter 10, starting in verse 22, we see, so Moses stretched out his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. So 3 days of total darkness. But look over in the land of Goshen in verse 23. They did not see one another, nor anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had lights in their dwellings. So, the Egyptians are over here in the land of Egypt. It's just total darkness. They don't know what to do for 3 days. But over in Goshen, the Israelites have lights in their homes. But, you know, it's still not enough for Pharaoh. Starting in verse 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Take heed to yourself to see my face no more, For in the day you see my face, you shall die. So Moses said, you have spoken well. I will never see your face again. So, even though Pharaoh is ready for it to end, he's still not ready to give in. But that's what death of the firstborn. We all know about it. And we started, you know, can you imagine every household having someone dead? We already have animals dead, now we want to have the firstborn of the animals, you know, the young of the family, the young of your stock and everything. They're going to be dying. Over in verse 29, we see that it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captives who were in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. It didn't miss anyone. If you didn't follow God's law and put the blood around your door like you're supposed to, stay in like you're supposed to, this will affect you. And we see that back in verse 27, 28, where the people are told, then you shall say, is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord. This is when they're talking about what is a Passover to their children. Is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron leading. So, we know what happens. In verse 31, he calls the people, the Pharaoh does, and tells them, you know, you can leave. He's through with this act. And, you know, we can get some lessons from this. It's really very interesting. These lessons, it doesn't make any difference. We're talking about what's happening in Revelation that we've been studying, what's happening here in Exodus, or back in Genesis, in the time of Noah. We get the same lessons here. God instructs us what to do. God is specific with man's instructions, and we've got to follow them. As we found out in Revelation, at some point in time, God's warnings end as judgments begin. You know, his warnings here, where he is, you know, killing the cattle, destroying the crops, aggravating them, all that, those are his warnings. But his judgment begins when he starts killing the firstborn. What we learn from all this, we want to be on the Lord's side. We want to do what God has instructed us to do. And we all have a Bible. Now, whether your Bible is a hardbound one, or whether you're using an electronic Bible, or whatever, we all have ways we can get the Bible. And we can see what God wants us to do. And we need to follow that. One of the things that we need to do, if we're not Christian, we know that we need to believe what has been told us. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess Christ and need to be baptized. At that point, we're one of God's children, and we have to add a prayer where we can go to Him and ask for forgiveness. But sometimes, after we have become a Christian, we have public sins that we need more help with, and we need to talk to someone, something like that. And you can confess those sins publicly. And sometimes we just don't know what we need to do. But if there's anything that you need help with this evening in spiritual matters, then we can help you come forward as we stand and sing.
Why do you wait, your brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throne. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? What do you hope, dear brother, to gain by a further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but His way. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death in delay. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now?
Please be seated.
The Lord's table remains prepared for any that have not had an opportunity to partake today. If you wish to do so, would you raise your hand? Are there any that wish to give at this time? I'm going to assume that's the last song, because it is what I have on my list, so I don't know where my other one went to. 563.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord.
So much for this beautiful day you've blessed us with. We thank you for this opportunity to come together to hear a lesson from your word, to sing songs of praise. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the opportunity for salvation through him. We thank you, Father, for Charlie's willingness to fill in for Brandon and bring lessons to us today. We thank you just for the opportunities to come into this building and to be edified and lifted up. Father, we pray for the many prayer requests, whether mentioned or unmentioned. You know the needs, both spiritually and physically. We pray for your healing touch upon those. We pray for those who are traveling and gone from here for the time being, and hopefully bring them back safely when we come together again on Wednesday. We pray, Father, that we open your word on a daily basis, that we not just skim over it, not just give it a glance, but that we truly do read it, study it, commit it to heart and mind, and commit to being obedient to it. Lord, we just pray that we would be a light into a dark world, that we would be the people you expect us to be. And Father, I pray that we recognize when we do stumble, when we do sin, that we come to you for that forgiveness that we can only have through Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.